The views and opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of WEFT-FM, Prairie Air Incorporated, Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the Weft Associates. And now here is this week's edition of IMC Radio News.
Why do we produce the IMC Radio News?
Because the chasm isn't left to right. It's top to bottom.
To give voice to people who aren't heard.
To bust up the myth of objective journalism.
Bill O'Reilly does not have a monopoly on the truth.
To build our community and re-educate the public.
To revive the voice of organized labor.
To bring forth debate so as to animate democracy.
Because I want to agitate for revolution.
Listen to the voices of your community on IMC Radio News.
Good evening and welcome to IMC Radio News. Today, IMC reporter Ondine Gross continues her investigation into transportation issues facing our community. She speaks with Tom Costello of the Mass Transit District.
Tom Costello is the Assistant Managing Director of the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, and we are here today to continue our investigation into the trials and tribulations of providing suitable transportation for Champaign-Urbana into the future. Welcome, Tom Costello.
Well, thank you.
Tom, transportation is like electricity. We don't want to think about it unless we are forced to. We think about it when it becomes broken or when the cost of it rises. When we do have to think about it, it is usually with a large amount of annoyance. It seems like we've been hearing a lot about transportation lately, and a whole lot of people are annoyed. So let's spend a little time today speaking about the chronology of events that began when the MTD suggested that the transportation system of Champaign-Urbana needed some upgrades. But first, a few background questions. Who exactly owns the MTD?
Well, the Illinois is a textbook example of states that have more local taxing districts than anyone else, and that is a characteristic of our state. And like those, the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District is a local taxing district, so the taxpayers own the district.
Okay. So it's funded solely through taxpayer money?
Well, unlike some government services, we have to remember that we also have fares, and we have an opportunity to gain some other revenues from other areas, such as advertising, things like that, that you typically wouldn't expect, for example, from the police department or the fire department. Though I understand recently that in some cities, someone's made an offer to buy police cars if they'll let them advertise on the side of them, so I'll be curious to see how that turns out. But typically, it's tax revenues, state investments, federal investments, and the revenue from the fare boxes.
Okay. The MTD began an alternative analysis study in February of 2002 and invited the public to look at three ideas to address overcrowding and increasing congestion. It seems that the cities of Champaign and Urbana are growing, and there has been an increase in the use of public transportation. So let's talk briefly about the pros and cons of those three ideas. First, enhancement to existing buses.
Well, before we even get there, I think let's talk about alternatives analysis, which is really a fancy word for trying to figure out what's going on and what are our choices. And just so people understand that right from the get-go, I think that a lot of times, sometimes in government circles, people want to use words that sound a lot snazzier than they really are. So what we really did is we spent some time, effort, and money to take a look at where we're at and where we think we need to go and what choices are going to be available to us in the future. So having said that, now let's take a look at our first one.
Okay. Enhancing existing buses.
What we're seeing is that crowding on the buses, and not even that so much as the amount of buses that it takes for us to run in order to meet the need. And I think as a result of that, when you start having a transportation system that's causing more problems than it's solving, then it's time to look elsewhere. Enhancing the local system would simply mean that we add more buses or we add more articulated buses or we look at something within the existing system to see how we can make things work. On that note, I guess while we're on the subject, today, Ed Charlo spoke about trying to increase the population size of Champaign-Urbana, and as you mentioned earlier about what's going to happen with transportation and things like that, as we increase the amount of folks that we have or as we spread out, we can't help but create more transportation problems. So that's why we have to keep looking at these things.
Okay. So enhancing the buses means adding more buses, adding longer buses, and What are the cons, the downside?
Well, it's just simply that you can't put 5 pounds in a 2 pound bag, and that's really what we may find ourselves doing. As a stopgap measure, that's probably what we'll be doing to see how long we can go with that. But long term, it doesn't seem as though that's going to be a solution to the problem.
And it still increases congestion a bit on the roads?
Well, sure. I mean, more vehicles of any type, whether it's our vehicles or whether it's single passenger automobiles, it's still increasing congestion. Obviously, I'm a little more partial to the bus with 10 or 12 people on it than 10 cars sitting in front of me, but to each his own.
Number two, flexible transit system. What does that mean?
Well, again, that's just another one of those bureaucratic words that somebody made up for lack of some other way to call something that would be more easily understood. Essentially, what we're talking about is vehicles that will go down a fixed guideway, essentially will not vary from where it's going, but do not have tracks. And so what we would do, and this is a very, very state-of-the-art technological approach to high-volume transportation, I personally don't think it's quite ready for prime time yet. And I think that generally our consultants would concur at this point. Now, as we look to the future, which is exactly what we're doing, that may be something that we look at in 5 or 10 years if the technology improves and gives us some alternatives to solving our problems without putting rails in the streets or putting power lines up or those kinds of things. So we think it's something worth looking at only because of its potential. But in terms of looking at it and saying, well, okay, we're ready to go with something like that, I'm reminded a little bit of the person that says, I can get you that particular item for $10 less. The only problem is I'm out of it right now. Mm. And it's the same thing in terms of that. This may be less expensive to put in. It may be equally efficient, but we can't tell you whether it's going to work or not.
Well, does this involve a fixed busway?
It would involve a fixed busway, and it might even involve different vehicles than what we would typically see as buses, though they would be rubber-tired vehicles, and they would be guided with global positioning and with other technology that would assist them in making sure that they don't veer off a particular route. One of the things that you're doing is they're longer than a 60-foot bus, so obviously the operator has to have some assistance in making sure that they're making turns and things like that, and that's what the fixed guideway, without being fixed, I guess, would do.
Are there benefits of this system over the enhanced buses in terms of reducing pollution?
Well, we can take a look at the opportunity to use hybrid vehicles, and we're even looking at that in terms of our vehicles now, in terms of what the opportunities for using hybrid buses. Right now, a typical bus of ours is maybe 350,000, 280 to 350,000. Hybrid bus is about $540,000. Mm-hmm. And the lifespan of those are not very long right now either. So we're kind of looking at that. We want to let some of that technology ripen a bit before we start looking at using those. This could help if the hybrid develops. It certainly could help us in terms of reducing the amount of diesel bus that we have. But I might quickly add that even with the diesel buses, the cleaning burning diesel buses really now are doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And while we're always going to have a bit more particulate pollution, in terms of pollution, don't even come close to doing what an automobile would do in terms of air pollution.
Mm. Proposal number three, the fixed guideway transit, also known as tram or trolley. This was the idea endorsed by the consultants hired by the MTD, the Washington Infrastructure Service. Tell us about this one.
Well, I think this is the toughest one. It's certainly the most expensive of the alternatives. I also happen to think the one that would probably have the greatest impact on our community. And what we're looking for is high-volume vehicles, vehicles that will carry about 200 people, that we can reduce the amount of vehicles we have, particularly in our core area, and also use electricity versus using diesel, so we take care of some pollution issues. And then, of course, for lack of a better term, you go back to the future. We go back to where we were in the 1930s when that type of transportation was key to the vitality of the community. And you sit there and go, well, why was that torn out? And you end up putting it back in. And it's a pricey proposition. I often mention to folks that if someone had torn out the interstate system and then said, now let's put it all back again, that would be a pricey proposition. We allowed our very sound public transportation system at all levels in the United States to be torn out. And that's whether it's rail, we were a leader in the world in a railroad system, and we've had it torn out. We have a possibility of being a leader in public transportation, and that's not to the exclusion of automobiles. You know, it doesn't have to be an either or situation, though some would have you think so. I mean, we have true believers on both sides. You know, some who think that, you know, if were it not for the automobile, America would still be back in the late 1800s, and we have others that look at the automobile as the demon itself. So I think that, we really need to look at some kind of balance. I think this particular system would offer us some balance, particularly where we have the most people riding. We need the most mobility, and we need the frequency, but we want frequency without having to use as many vehicles. So you have frequency with high volume, and you solve all the problems with one fell swoop.
Well, the problem is this idea has been met with a lot of controversy, and I know that it's been voted on by city councils. It looks like Champaign City Council voted it down. The Urbana City Council voted for it. And what about the university?
You know, I don't think I characterize any of those votes quite the way that you did. The Urbana City Council voted that we pursue the study, which I'm certainly grateful for, but certainly with the there was a lot of tentativeness on their part, and rightfully so. Champaign City Council voted not to pursue this in a rather resounding vote, though in private conversations, we've been told that really the case wasn't made very well, and that's the feelings of many of the people on the Champaign City Council. So I'd like to think that maybe there was a no vote with the same tentativeness on Champaign's part as there was on Urbana's part, and that's okay. The university has indicated and written letters and made it clear to us that certainly they can see how workable this could be for a solution to some of the problems that they're facing. You have to look at a very big picture here in order to let this work. If you're just going to say, I own a house out in the outskirts and I just don't get it, well, I can understand that. On the other hand, if you say, I own a house in the outskirts, I drive to the university every day, it's going to cost me $800 a year to park my car, there's got to be a better way, then it starts hitting home a bit more. The university over the last 5 years has spent $36 million in building parking decks. Okay. Somebody's paying for that. Now, you might sit there and go, well, it's not me. Well, it's somebody. And I suspect in some way or form, whether you're a citizen of Urbana and had taxable property gobbled up for parking decks, or you're a person who happens to work at the university and found out that parking spot that you've had all your life is now four times more than what it once was, there's a cost involved. And what we're trying to do is to say, is there a way that we can deal with those costs by investing in other ways? I guess the bottom line here is there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe the tram isn't the better way. We happen to think right now that it is. We have one of the arguments we brought up, well, why on earth would we think of this? We're a small town of 110 or 120,000 people, and I can take you to communities across Europe that are the same size as ours that have the very system that we're proposing in place. Not very common here in the United States, but very popular over where mass transit has to be used and where gasoline, I might add, runs about $5 a gallon. I'm not advocating $5 a gallon gasoline. Let me quickly add.
Well, it's interesting that you say that this hasn't been done much in the United States because, in fact, when I moved here 10 years ago, the MTD was touted as a very progressive body, and I understand you were among the first to have handicap accessible buses and buses that allowed bicycles. So is it true that this is just sort of keeping in the vein of looking ahead to the needs of your constituents?
I think that there's a price for innovation. Sometimes that price is ridicule. I keep wondering how that person that used to drive down the streets where all the horses were going, how much fun people used to have at his expense. We understand that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the MTD has been very innovative. We were one of the first systems in the country to have wheelchair-accessible buses. One of the first systems in the country to have low-floor buses so that ambulatory can get on and get off much more easily. We have bike racks on the fronts of the buses so you can bike to a portion of the community and put it on the bus and ride back, ride on in, thereby extending, I guess, the kind of area that biking and busing could work for. We're so innovative that we still make change in our buses when people get on, if they might not have change. With people, you know, if I dare someone to go to a transit system across the United States and say, I don't have the right change to board today, and see how that works. So, you know, even some of the old time things that we keep are innovative. And so I think that, I think our looking at the tram system, our looking at some kinds of other alternatives, innovative systems, are just the kinds of things that we not only have a reputation for doing, but we have a responsibility to do. This is a university community. This is a community that's vibrant and moving and thoughtful. And we want to have a transit system that matches those kinds of things.
So where does the issue of the tram stand now? And if our listeners were interested in supporting this idea, how would they do that?
Well, I don't think it's even now it's a question of support. I think it's a question of education. Our board has said that we want to sit back and reexamine the kinds of things that we've looked at. Obviously, I don't think I'd be underestimating to say that there's been broad-based support and broad-based opposition. And I think based on that, our board, who I might add has been very, very sensitive to the public all the time. You know, I was a little disappointed. I was at a board meeting that a member of the public tell our board how arrogant they were for even suggesting that we bring a tram to Champaign-Urbana. And my thought was, well, first of all, they gave the staff marching orders to go out and get as much public input as they possibly could, as evidenced by several open houses. I have people that when they see me coming, they run the other way because they really don't want to hear the presentation again anymore. We did all of those kinds of things. I mean, if anything, I think that the board has been solicitous of public input to see what folks think. Based on that, they're saying, all right, right out of the box, this isn't going to fly. This probably isn't an idea that we're ready for yet. What is it that we can do instead or in addition to, or is there a way that we can make this more palatable? And I think those are the kinds of things. That's where it's at right now. I'm intrigued by people that are, you know, standing four square opposed to the tram, which is a project at this point that doesn't exist.
Mm. Speaking about opposition, let's talk about something that is getting equal airtime lately, but seems to be unrelated completely to the tram, and that is the annexation of Savoy. At this time, bus service is being provided to parts of Northern Savoy, including Winfield Village, Sterling University Apartments, and Parkview. The MTD is seeking to extend service to Walmart, Lake Park, and other parts of Southern Savoy, but it looks like the residents of Savoy are up in arms. Petitions have been circulating, allegations are flying. What is up with this Savoy annexation?
Well, I think what we ought to start is start before the beginning, and that is in the year 2000, the Mass Transit District Board went through an extensive strategic planning process. As a function of that process, they said, you need to be looking at a comprehensive transportation plan that goes along with the planning area of the Champaign-Urbana-Savoy region. As a function of that, we need to be looking at annexing areas so that we offer comprehensive transportation services. You know, and I want to quickly add, and people talk about our board, in terms of the fact that, again, they wanted us to go out and contact all of the other governments within that area and say, all right, what kinds of mutually agreeable things can we come up with? Which, quite frankly, was the same thing that we were trying to do in Savoy, was merely to go in there and say, well, what kinds of things can we agree with? And it appears not much at this point. We're looking at eventually we want to have a comprehensive transportation plan and comprehensive public transportation services. Now, how we get to that or how soon we get to that, I think, is a matter of discussion. But I can tell you that from our board standpoint, you know, they have no political agenda. our board's only political agenda is providing the best possible public transit services for the best value to the taxpayers. I mean, that's what their agenda is. And how do we, you know, what's best in terms of the community and for public transit? And I think that's, at least that's our board's agenda, as best I can tell it, for the 30 years that I've worked there.
Well, I'm glad you're clarifying that, because one of the criticisms leveled against MTD that sounded very odd to me was they're greedy. And I thought, greedy? Who gets rich here?
Well, while we would certainly like to have the folks of the Savoy embrace the opportunity to have public transit, the $175,000 that would be generated from their property taxes is not going to make much difference in terms of the quality of service being offered to anyone else in Champaign-Urbana. In fact, what it would do primarily is help pay for the service that would be provided to Savoy. And on that note, let me add one other thing that I think that, as you're talking about misconceptions, you know, the MTD has a broad base of services, a broad range of services that we provide, whether it's van service for people with disabilities. We have smaller vans that we use in residential areas, which then meet up with our buses. The view that was presented all too often, for example, in the residential area of Savoy, is that we were going to have 40 or 60-foot buses running down residential streets, carrying no one, going nowhere, and not doing much. That would be foolish on our part. And I'd like to think, again, that we're not that unwise.
I think a lot of people don't realize how much MTD buses are used as school buses. My own children ride MTD buses to and from school. Was the MTD asked by the school districts to look at going to more outlying areas, including Savoy?
Well, we've tried to work with all the agencies, including Unit 4 and 116, to provide transportation for school children where it works. And when I say school children, let me quickly add, we're talking middle school and high school children. We don't transport grade school children at all. What we were asked was to take a look and see if there was a way, with the, particularly in Champaign, with their Schools of Choice program, if there was a way that we could help augment their bus service. And that's one of the things that we continue to look at with them. They're going to have a very difficult time fulfilling that mandate without help. And if they do fulfill it without help, it's going to be very, very costly to the folks that live in Unit 4. If we're able to help with that and it benefits Unit 4, thereby giving them money to spend on education instead of transportation, and we're able to do it at a, we have both the capability and capacity to do it after our meetings with them, then that's certainly something we want to look at. So, yeah, we were looking at terms of working with them. This year it won't be as difficult as it will be in the future because they only have one class. But next year they'll have two classes, and the year after that they'll have three classes. And so it would easily have, you could easily have eight children living on the block and two going to one school and two going to another school and two going to a third school and two going to a fourth school. And somehow or another, we have to all get them there in a reasonable period of time. I predict that unless and until we come to some understanding, that there could be some very, very long bus rides from the outlying areas of Champaign-Urbana.
So it sounds like growth and development is something that the MTD is looking at, and it's going to cost. And what you folks are trying to do is figure out how to make the cost most efficient and worthwhile, because whether it's building more buses, having parking garages and parking structures built, it's going to cost us all something.
Well, it is going to cost, but let me quickly add, nobody wants more taxes. You know, all too often we have people that think that because someone works in government that they're not paying taxes or they're not paying it. I mean, we pay attention to those kinds of things. Nobody wants more taxes. On the other hand, it's a question of how are we going to be paying for things that need to be paid for anyway. I don't want more taxes, but I don't want traffic congestion either. Well, make your choice, okay? I don't want higher gasoline prices, okay? But I don't want to find any other alternatives to consumption. Well, I mean, and you know, life is full of choices, and sometimes we have to decide what's best for our community, and sometimes what's best for us isn't always best for the community. Long term it is, but on the short term, if I have to pay another nickel, another dime, if I have to pay the equivalent of a couple of pizzas in order to make sure that I have longer hours at the library, or if I have to say, well, you know, I have to pay the equivalent of a fast food meal, but you know what that means? That I'm going to be able to have the park district do a few more programs, or I'm going to be able to have public transit, do the kinds of things that I need public transit system to do for me. I think those are the kinds of things that we have to ask in any community. What is it that we're willing to pay to have a more livable community? And I quickly add, and to pay our share of what it takes to get that done.
Well, I appreciate that concept, because I just want to close by saying that I moved here from California. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and I thought about transportation a lot. Smog and traffic. Traffic and smog. Terrible public transportation. It impacted so much of daily life and caused so much stress, aggravation, and road rage. We all know that for many years we heard about killings on the freeways. It was bad enough to get stuck behind a truck, but now the roads are filled with SUVs. I then moved to the Bay Area, and I love the Bay Area Rapid Transit, also known as BART. And the best part of that lifestyle was walking to a BART station and riding from my home in Oakland to San Francisco in 20 minutes. But driving was terrible. To visit a friend that lived 15 minutes away could take up to an hour, and it wasn't even during rush hour or because of traffic jams. It was just the normal ebb and flow of streets congested with cars. And rush hours were, of course, nightmares. So you know you're dealing with congestion when you start to alter your decisions based on it. So I've started to notice traffic in Champaign-Urbana like I've never seen it before. It has changed my behavior in that I won't drive to North Prospect on a Saturday. So with all of these new residential developments popping up on the outskirts of Champaign-Urbana, the writing is on the wall. It seems to me that the MTD is reading that writing and trying to do something about it.
Well, you know, we talk about congestion and things like that. And when we talk about our community, what we're looking at is how do we avoid that we don't get there? And we don't want any more North Prospects. I love the revenue. We're happy to have the commerce. But can we have that without the price of traffic? Is that possible to do? And we think it is. But we have to work at it. And the same is true of other things throughout the community. What is it that we're willing to pay to make ours a more livable community? And more livable is things like, it doesn't take me an hour to do a 10-minute trip. And unless and until we convince everyone that only through balanced transportation is that going to happen, that we'll just continue to watch things deteriorate until such a point that it gets so bad that someone says, okay, we understand now.
Mm. Thank you so much, Tom Costello, for speaking with us today.
It was a pleasure being here.
For IMC Radio News, this is Undine Gross.
You should take the A train to get to Sugar Hill way up in Harlem. If you take the A train, you'll get to Sugar Hill and in a hurry. Oh, listen.
Thanks for listening. That wraps up IMC Radio News for this week. Contributors included Undine Gross. If you'd like to get involved with this show, please drop us a line at radio@ucimc.org. Or stop by our weekly meeting Tuesday at noon at the IMC, 218 West Main Street in downtown Urbana. No experience is necessary. Everyone is welcome. Take care and see you next week.
Get to Sugar Hill way up in Harlem. Should take the 8 train if you're thinking of heading uptown. You should take the 8 train, it's the swinginest trolley around.